Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's so great to see you here this afternoon. We all have spent a lot of time with Nora over the years, and we all have loved her with all of our heart, and we're going to miss her, but she's in that land now called paradise, free from suffering, no more hospital beds, no more nursing home visits, and so we're going to talk about her this afternoon, and we're going to celebrate the time that the Lord gave us Nora as a friend. And so Nora requested two songs that she wanted sung, and she wanted Dennis Hunsinger up here in the front to sing them. Dennis Hunsinger, if you all haven't heard him sing yet, he has a golden voice. And so he's going to sing In the Garden and The Old Rugged Cross. And he's a real, real good singer. And Nora thought so too. And she requested him to sing. Over here at the piano is my sister. And back at the sound booth is her husband. His name is Dan. They moved from Colorado out here in 2013. They're retired. And Sherry and I, when we were just preschoolers, we did not have video games or TV. So what we did for pleasure was we played church. And we were preschoolers at the time. We lived out in the country in the Yakima Valley in Toppenish. And we made a piano out of apple boxes, and we made a pulpit out of apple boxes. And so we had church on the front porch, and she played the piano, and we sung out of the old hymnal. She still has it, as a matter of fact. And then I preached. And in those days, I just mimicked what I heard from the pulpit as a young kid, and it was all negative, hell, fire, and brimstone. So that's how I started preaching. I've changed over the years, so relax. But they moved out here, and she's our worship leader on Sunday mornings. There's a program for you to follow along as we spend some time together. And this afternoon, unfortunately, the Daily O made a mistake and gave the public who continues to read the Daily O the wrong day. So, but I corrected the website at Mills and Mills, and they changed it right away. So anyway, we're glad that you are here, and we're going to celebrate the life and times of Nora. And also, we're going to have a open mic sharing time, and the microphone will be right here at my left, and we encourage you to come up to the front and talk a little bit about your favorite memories that you have cherished in your heart of Nora. And this afternoon, 2 p.m., we are exactly where we ought to be as we gather along the family and friends of Nora to talk about life after death, to say our prayers together, and to share our memories together. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing? He shall feed me in a green pasture and lead me forth beside the waters of comfort. He shall convert my soul and bring me forth in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou shalt prepare a table before me against them that trouble me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full. Surely thy loving kindness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, We praise you this afternoon because you are a God that is full of love, full of mercy, full of grace, and full of compassion. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of memory. And today we remember Nora. We thank you for giving her to us, her family and friends, to know and to love as we travel together on our earthly journey. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give us faith to see through the death that eternal gate that leads to eternal life, so that in quiet confidence we may continue our course here on earth until by your call we are reunited with those whom we have loved that have gone on before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This memorial service will be posted on our website, so that's why we want to make sure that we see Dennis, not just hear him sing. Here we go.
Still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own.
clap in this church. The selected scriptures were some of the favorite Bible verses that Nora liked. The picture that you saw on the video screen as you came in this morning, this afternoon, I took a couple of weeks ago, I guess, 3 weeks, not any longer than that.
December 18th, I
believe it was. The 18th. Of December. Oh my goodness, how time goes. Any event, she had just returned from her hairdresser, and she was out of the hospital and looking pretty chipper. And I said, Nora, you really look beautiful today. Can I take your picture? And so she posed for me as I took that picture. And that is going to be my favorite picture of Nora because I took it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. John 11:35, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Nora sat with her fine young son, and I'm going to ask Dennis to come up here and turn the microphone on and stand by the microphone stand while our sound technician zooms in on you as you come forward. So who wants to be first? Come and share. Yes, I'm glad you are the first one. Tell us who you are and what relationship you had with Nora.
Hello. Yeah. Hello, I'm Susie Hutchinson, and I was Nora's hairdresser for 7 years. And I've been with her through her illnesses and visited her at the hospital. And when she came in the last time, her hair was really long and she'd lost so much weight. And so I said, Nora, what are we going to do with you today? And she said, oh, I don't care. And I said, well, I think that we need to color your hair. You need to look like Nora again. So I went in the back, mixed up her color, cut her hair, and rolled it, and I said, oh my gosh, now you look like Nora. I said, you are so pretty now. And so that's when that picture was taken with her red sweater on. And she was just so happy to have her hair done again and feel like herself, even though she
probably didn't, but she looked way better than she did when she came in. So she's always been a really sweet person. Dawn would bring her every week, and at the, before she started getting sick, he would go to the grocery store. And so she would stew and fret and stew and fret. Oh my gosh, where is he? He should be here by now. I think he's gotten in a wreck. Oh, what happened if the car? Oh. And I'm like, you need to just relax. I said, you know he's going to be here. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But she was just so, I don't know. She was just, oh, what if, what if? What if? I said to her, what if? Anyway, that's my story, so thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. That's special to us. Who wants to be next? Come on up. If you don't come, I'll call on you. This is true. Come on up, Marianne. She's my wife, by the way. I can call on her. May hear about it later, but anyway.
So I don't have to identify myself anyway. Nora and I were good friends, and we went to lunch frequently. It all started one day when she called, and she was upset because a friend of hers had passed away, and several people in the past that she'd gone to lunch with were no longer around. And I said, Nora, let's go to lunch. And so we did. And we didn't do it just that time. We did it rather frequently for, I don't know, maybe 15 years. I'm not sure. Sometimes it would be several months before we did it. Sometimes we'd do it once a month or so. But I enjoyed getting to know Nora. One of the things that she was so proud of her boys. She just would talk about her boys and just shone when she did. And one of the things that she liked to talk about the most was heaven. And when would the Lord come back? And she would get to talking about prophecy and the Lord coming back. And that's something that's always been dear to my heart too. And we would talk about that and she would just couldn't wait. Well, now, Nora, there you are. You beat me to it, and I hope she's just enjoying herself thoroughly. I know she is.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, Diana. Well, good for you. She talked a lot about you when I was in her home, and she loved you with all of her heart.
I loved her. I called her Aunt Norgie for 69 years. She was the best aunt ever. I will miss her. In the last few years, we talked almost every week, and it was hard seeing her the last year slowly fading. But I have a lots of good memories.
Amen.
And she was so lucky to have Dawn there every day. I'm so proud of you. It was a hard thing to do.
Thank you, Diana, for sharing. That was special. Here comes David.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm David Howe. I'm Dawn's second cousin. I've known, I always called Nora, Aunt Norgie all my life. And she was one sweet lady. She always felt I was like one of her own children. And Dawn and I, well, we never really acted like cousins. We were more like brothers than anything. And My aunt and I would talk. She would talk about the Heavenly Father and whatnot. And as time gone on, I had a feeling not being able to come down here as often as I would like to have been able to at the time. But I just had a feeling that the time was coming for her to see our Heavenly Father. But I didn't know when. But every time we would talk, when we had talked on the phone or even in person, when I would come down here, I always let her know that I loved her. And I still say the same thing even to Dawn here. Because that's how I feel. Because they are family to me. And always have been.
Thank you for sharing, David. Appreciate it. Hold it close to your lips. There you go.
Do the best I can here. I took care of my mom for several months, and the last 3 months is when she started going downhill really bad. And got worse yet the last couple of weeks, that where they were telling me she had these sores really bad. And all, she had to go into the emergency to be checked over, and they wouldn't do anything because she was on hospice and sent her home. And that was the very next day is when she passed away. But I was there by her. And the nurse was supposed to come back with the medications for her for the next day, but she came back around 8 o'clock, and I went in her bedroom at 6:30, and I touched her and kissed her, told her how much I loved her. And I knew she was gone at that time. But she was always faithful to me and did right by me. And I tried to do everything I could do for my mom and get her exactly what she wanted. And we tried to get along as good as we could, even though it was difficult to get along. But I love my mom dearly. That's about all I can say.
Amen. Thank you, Dawn. Dawn was an excellent caregiver for his mom. And he did a fantastic job caring for her. Who's next? I was waiting for you to come forward.
Nora. It's funny who God puts in your life. My life crossed paths with both Pauline and Nora before we ever came to New Hope. And Pauline happened to be my son's bus driver when we lived out on the Sunrise Beach Road. And Nora and I worked together at the Department of Natural Resources. And at that time, we didn't have all the computer stuff that they have now. We had what they call track books, and they had all the ownership of the natural resources information in them. So Nora, even though she didn't work in my area, she had to come there quite frequently to get information. So I got to know her. She was a little timid, but we got to know each other, and she retired with 30 years in 1991, and I retired with 30 years in 1992, so we were kind of at the same group. And then we came to New Hope, and who should be here but Nora? So that was nice. It was somebody that I knew. And she and I visited recently, and had a good time. It's funny, it wouldn't matter when I would call her, what time of day, I'd say I'm coming over, and I don't live that far, so it wouldn't be that long, but I'll tell you, when I get there, she was dressed and she was wearing earrings. She was looking good. And I have to say that Don impressed me as the best caregiver I've ever seen.
Amen to that.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
So we're going to miss her. But I'm glad that I had a chance to know her in my life.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Sandy. Someone else, right quick? Yes.
Hi, I'm Miriam Ray. I used to be married to Nora's son, Dale. And we've been family ever since. Even though Dale and I got divorced, I've always been close with the family and real happy to be considered family. We would go to lunch and talk on the phone, and it was always good to know that she was still my second mom. I'm gonna miss her.
Amen. Nora talked a lot about you when I was in her home too. She really loved you, Miriam. Anybody else, right quick?
I will.
Okay. She come. Okay. Come. Sharon, then Heather, right? Okay.
I don't like to talk in front of people. Nora, after she started coming here to New Hope, we decided to do a discipleship. We called it the Timothy. And so it was discipleship of walking with the Lord and learning about Him and the Bible study and all of that. And so the Timothy program went on. We met together usually every week for a couple of hours. And I think it went on for about 2 years. And we had a good time of visiting together and growing together in the Lord. And that was very, very special. Sandy had mentioned that Nora and she had retired with 30 years with the state. So I also felt like I was kind of kindred spirit with Nora because I retired in 88 with 30 years in. So, but Nora and I had some very good time of visiting together and talking about the Lord and studying about the Lord and studying the scriptures and all of that. So just share.
Thank you, Sharon, for sharing. Oh, your turn.
Hi, everyone. My name's Heather, and I am Nora Bell's grandson's fiance. So I thought it would be a good story to share. Chris and I went to high school together. And we drifted apart, but recently found each other. And he asked me to marry him on Christmas Eve. And we were going to see Nora on Christmas Day. And he wanted to ask me to marry him on Christmas Eve because he wanted his grandma to know that he was getting married. And he wanted her to see my ring. And so we went over on Christmas Day, and we were really excited to share with her that her only grandson was getting married for the first time. So it was a privilege to meet her. She was a firecracker. My grandparents are not around, and I told Chris when he told me that his grandma was still living at the age of 91, I was very excited to get to go and meet her. And we told good stories, and she was just, the few times that I got to meet her, I really enjoyed her company. So I thought that you guys would all like to hear that story.
Hey, man, thanks for sharing. Last call. I don't want anyone going home and saying, you know what, doggone it, I wish I would have shared something. and didn't. Okay. Okay, very good.
I will.
Oh, come on up.
Good afternoon. My name is Grace. I'm not amazing, but I am Grace. I've known Nora and Don and her son Dale for a few years. Visitor with her in the hospital. Today, do you notice how I'm dressed? Do you notice the red? You know what that signifies? That signifies that Nora's life was covered with the blood of Jesus. Do you notice the colors of the top? That represents the jubilant reunion that she had with her Savior in heaven. Do you notice the color of the slacks, like the ground, brown? That shows that she was well grounded in Jesus. Her eternal life was secure in Him. Wouldn't it be great if everyone could say that? Have no doubt whatsoever where they would go when they are called into eternity? There's only two places. And who does the choice lie with? The choice lies with each one of us. We can all hope we'll get to heaven. We can all think we can work our way to heaven, but that ain't gonna cut it. You can't buy your way into heaven. Nora knew the way. And she wanted everyone that she knows, everyone that ever came into her life or crossed her path, would come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. It's asking Jesus into our heart, asking Jesus to forgive us of our sin, and asking Jesus to walk with us and to have that personal relationship with Him. That's where it's at. And this is what Nora would want each of us to know. She would want to greet each one of us as we enter into our own eternal life. Our days are numbered before we are born. And we can't change that. But the believer who has their trust and faith in no one else but Jesus Christ will go and meet their Savior face to face. That is a joyous reunion. That is something to look forward to. Nora is no longer in this world. She doesn't have the trouble, the tribulation, and everything that comes with being on this earth. She is with her Lord and Savior. She is comforted. She is rejoicing. She is praising. She is in the arms of Jesus, and enjoying all those that she knew that left this world before Him that is with Him. Don, you did and have done a miraculous job in caring for your mom. Amen. You have gone above and beyond what many others would have done. They would have thrown up their arms and walked away and say, I can't do this. I can't handle it. It's too much. But you have done a tremendous job. And as Sandy said, you are a good-hearted servant. And that love shows. And all of your her friends here, and even those that weren't able to be here today, you were blessed by knowing Nora. And Nora was blessed by knowing you. So rejoice that she is with the Lord. She is comforted. And may the memories that you have, the joys that you have in holding your heart, may they bring you comfort and knowing that God has put her in your life for a reason. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Grace. Anyone else before we move on? Good.
Well, I knew my sister for many, many years. And we had some good times together, especially when we were young, before we were married. And I'm going to miss her terribly, because I used to go over there and she'd always let me tell her all my problems. And she'd listen, which I didn't have any more than anybody else, but I needed somebody to listen to me. So I'm really going to miss her. And I want to say to Dawn, too, what a wonderful, wonderful person you are for taking care of her. It's been, I just can't believe it. You've got a special place in heaven, honey. So that's all I've got to say now. I don't know whether grandson wants to say something or not, and it's hard for him to. He can't do it. Okay, honey. Well, I'll talk to you later. I'm so glad that all of you showed. Most of the people that she retired with, thinks the funeral was to be tomorrow. So a lot of them probably a show tomorrow. But I didn't recognize you, honey. Dale's ex-wife, I didn't recognize you. Your hair's short or something, but I would have spoke to you before. But you're a wonderful daughter-in-law. She really loved you. We all did. You'll always be a part of the family. So thank you for coming, everybody.
Thank you, Pauline, for sharing. You're going to sing later on, Dennis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nora was, to me, was a very unique person. And she had something go wrong at the house. She'd call me up and say, hey, can you come fix this? Can you come fix that? Say, yeah, call anytime. Her main concern was that when she was gone, who would do things for Dawn? And I gave her the assurance that as long as I was in the neighborhood, anytime Dawn called up, I'd be there. She wouldn't have to worry about somebody coming to help fix things around the house or whatever. What really struck me was I visited several times when she was in the hospital, in and out, and every time she was there, I'd go up and talk. And I'd go up to the front desk, and I said, could you tell me what room Nora Ross is in? And they'd look around, look around, look around. Finally, she came back, and she says, Nora Ross? She says, I got a Nora Bell. And I said, well, that must be her. And I soon learned after the first or second time, Nora Bell. I had to call her Nora Bell. I never knew that until I went to the hospital. I always called her Nora, and that was her name. But her real name was Nora Bell. And every time I go to the hospital, I learned to say, where is Nora Bell?
Amen. Thank you, Dennis, for sharing. Someone said a long time ago, God never sees his children die. He simply sees them coming home. It is said that when one of his church members was dying, John Watson, the Scottish preacher of Edinburgh, would kneel down and whisper in a person's ear, in my father's house are many mansions. And then with a contented sigh, the person would slip away, entirely unafraid. There's something really special about the scripture. When we come to this season in our lives, that brings us a lot of comfort and hope. If we could see just for a few seconds just how glorious Nora's homecoming was, no one here today would call her back to the limits of her aged, frail body. Even though Nora will be missed, there's something very appropriate about her departure. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says it this way: there is a time to be born and a time to die. Nora came to that time in her own life where she wanted to die. She wanted to go home. She had lived a full and complete life. She had accepted the love of God into her heart. She loved her family. Her house was in order. She was ready to go home. She was a Christian, and she loved the Lord. We all have different memories of Nora. My first memory of Nora started way back in the early 1990s when I believe Nora and Pauline started attending New Hope at about the same time, along with Don. And she not only became a faithful member of our church over all these years, but she became a dear friend to everyone at New Hope, including my wife and myself. She told me on one occasion that, in fact, more than once, that she had learned more about the Bible at New Hope than she had in any other church that she attended. Quite often she would call me about a theological question she was searching to find the answers for, and we had many wonderful conversations about the Bible. I had the privilege, especially in the last 3 years, of visiting frequently in her home because of her illness. And here's the way it went. I would call her up, and I would say, "Nora, are you up for a visit today?" And she would always say these words. She would say, "Sure, come on over. It'll be good to see you." One visit, I was sitting in her living room in a rocking chair across from where she sat in her recliner. And her home was very comfortable for me to chat with her. And one time she was talking and she was on a roll, you know what I mean? And I began to doze a little bit. And she looked at me and she said, "Del, do you need a nap?" I always enjoyed my visits in her home, and she always talked about her love for Bill, the travels that they did together all over Europe and across the country. And she talked about her boys and her grandson. And then later on, Heather and Christine was on her mind. And in 1998, Bill passed away. Then 11 years later, she met this other guy. They begin to talk, and they begin to have an affection for one another. His name was Orville. Orville Ross. And one day she called me into, she called me on the phone, and she said, "Del, can Orville and I come to see you?" I said, "Sure, come on down. It'll be good to see you." And so as we sat in my office, I asked Nora, "Well, what's on your heart today, Nora?" And here's the exact verbiage of our conversation. She said, "Del, we can't go on living this way." Not knowing the situation at the time, I said, "Well, how are you living?" And she said, "Del, we're living together, and it just isn't right. I just can't go on living this way. So we need to get married." Orville then said, "Well, Del, if I marry Nora, I'm going to lose a chunk of my retirement benefits." I hate that law. But in any event, then Orville said, as he looked in the eyes of Nora, he said, then we'll just have to trust God to take care of us. That's what he said. And God did. On January 24th, 1998, I had the honor of marrying Orville and Nora in our church out on Lily Road that we were leasing the building. And theirs was the first wedding we had on Lily Road. And at that wedding, they handed out to everyone who attended a chocolate bar. I still have it. Orville and Nora Ross, January 24, 1998. Here it is. And I thought, wow. Now, when they first started dating one another, Orville was unchurched. And Orville liked his liquor, and he liked to smoke. And Nora said, Orville, if we're going to get married, you need to clean up those two habits. And I want my man to start coming to church with me. And because of the influence of Nora upon Orville, he quit his drinking cold turkey. And he quit his tobacco cold turkey. And he started coming to church with her and sitting beside her. And he would listen like this as I preached. I see him today like this. And as his mental deterioration began to affect his thinking, he had his days confused. And he would often ask Nora on Wednesday, well, is tomorrow Sunday? He loved to go to church with Nora. One person said, there's nothing more certain than death and nothing more unsure than life. Our bodies are very temporal. The psalmist said, there is but a step between me and death. And the Bible refers to our bodies as tents. And for a little while, a tent can be a wonderful home. When we're hiking in the mountains, enjoying the wonderful outdoors, a tent can be exactly what we need. When we become weary, we need a place to rest. While tents are wonderful for their intended purpose, a person doesn't expect to live in a tent forever. Before long, a person longs to go home. Such was the case of Nora. Looking for that building whose maker is God. And Nora was anxious to leave and go home to be with Jesus. The Bible says it this way, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that was Nora. So Nora knew the reality of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. She knew the reality of God's love. She knew the reality of her sins being forgiven. She knew the reality of the new birth. And she knew the reality of heaven and of eternity and of a future reunion with loved ones. When I was in the home the other day, visiting with Don, I said, what were some of the books that Nora was reading in her last few weeks? And he found this book. Everything you always wanted to know about heaven. This is the best book I have ever read on heaven. And I would encourage you to spend $12, that's what it costs, on Amazon, and begin to read about your future dream home called heaven. It costs $12. And so I found the bookmark in this book, and it's on page 77. And you know what she was reading the last time she read this book? I believe Matthew 25:23. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities." It's a valuable book to read. And closing my comments this afternoon, a few hours before entering heaven, the famous evangelist D.L. Moody caught a glimpse of the glory awaiting him. And awakening from his sleep, he said, "Earth is receding, heaven opens before me. If this is death," he said, "this is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." His son was standing beside his bedside and said, "No, Father, you're just dreaming." "No," said Mr. Moody, "I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." A short time elapsed, and he spoke again. These were his final words. "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It's glorious." So, it's very, very important that when our short life is over, that we know for sure that we're going to that beautiful place called heaven when our life on this earth is over. Most of us know who Steve Jobs was. He did a lot of innovations with the iPhone. When he was dying, his family had gathered around his bedside. His eyes were closed. And then he opened them just for a few seconds. And here's what he said. The last words he uttered from his lips. He opened his eyes and he said, "Wow." Looking at a glimpse of heaven. His innovations doesn't begin to compare to the innovative mind that God has for those who follow him and believe in him. The Bible says it this way, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the imagination of mankind the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Wow. So Nora is in heaven, free from pain and suffering, at home with the Lord. Amen. Let's listen to Dennis Hunsinger now sing one of Nora's favorite hymns, "The Old Rugged Cross."
Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. last I laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, shared with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross. Cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will sing to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen, Dennis. Thank you.